Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's turn to the passage that we have been looking at. Well, we've been opening it up every time I'm with you, and I must confess we don't get too far into our study. Luke chapter 18, we're looking at the verses 9 through to 14. Short little parable about two men going up to pray. And we have been considering the two men. First of all, we have looked at what the Bible tells us about the Pharisee. Not a very nice character at all. From the very start, he showed himself an enemy of the Lord Jesus. Set himself against the Savior. Contradicted him. Tried to pick quarrels with him. Tried to pick holes in what it was he said, and all the time showing themselves to be the very children of the devil. Then we're looking at the publican. Publican came from a group of people in society that most would have looked down upon. He came from a group of people that most would have considered to be most evil and wicked. And yes, that was the general attitude and spirit that was to be found among the publicans. They were not a religious people. But, and here's the difference, when they heard the word of God, their attitude, according to the accounts given us in the Gospels, their attitude were very different from those of the Pharisee. Consequently, I'm setting before you these religious people called the Pharisees, and I'm saying, don't be like them. And I'm setting before you these publicans, who generally speaking were considered not a good people, but when it comes to their response to the gospel, I'm saying, be like them. Be like them. Now, as I say, we've been looking at the publicans, considering just what we are told about them and their response to the preaching of the word of God. We considered how that they were more than willing and ready to associate with the Lord Jesus. We looked at that last week. They sat with him and his disciples and they shared food together. They did that not because they particularly wanted a meal, but they wanted the company of the Lord Jesus. They wanted to hear what he had to say. And they knew that while they were together eating, the Savior would be talking. And that's what they were interested in, the words that the Savior would speak. And they listened to him. And I want us to notice today that they were not only ready to associate with the Savior, openly, unashamedly, didn't matter who thought ill of the Lord Jesus, and who mocked him, or sneered at him, or criticized him, they didn't mind. They wanted to be in his company, because they admired what it was he had to say. But they were more than just ready to associate themselves with the Savior. They were ready to obey him. Not only to listen to his words, but to do them. I want to strive to press home to you today. It's not good enough to be here in the assembly and listen to what is said. That's not enough. You must do what is said. If you went to the doctor and he examined you and he said, oh, I know what's wrong with you. Here. And as only doctors can, he scribbles on his little pad a prescription. You go to the chemist and you get the bottle of medicine that the doctor says is going to cure you. And you take it home most carefully and you bring it into the bathroom and you open that little cabinet that is there and you set the medicine in the cabinet and you close the door and you leave it there. Is it going to do you any good? No. Is that what you're doing with the gospel? You know that this is what God has prescribed for you. This is God's answer to your needs. And very carefully, you sit and listen. And I have to commend you. You do sit and listen very carefully. Of course, you know I'd come down on you like a ton of bricks if you didn't. But nevertheless, even when it's not old cross me that's speaking in the assembly, you still listen. Boys and girls, it's not enough to listen. You must do. You've got to take the medicine. You've got to take the medicine. Here's what James the Apostle says. James chapter 1. That's way over toward the end of the New Testament. James chapter 1 and the verse 21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Now here's what the word of God can do for you. It can save your souls. That's what the Bible can do. It can save your souls. But it's not enough to hear the Bible. You've got to do it. You've got to obey it. You've got to obey it. You remember the very famous Philippian jailer who asked the Apostle Paul that great question that has been used ever since to advance the gospel. What must I do to be saved? And Paul gave him the answer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now, he wasn't saved by hearing the answer of Paul. He was saved by obeying what Paul said. And as you go down another verse or so in Acts chapter 16 where you read of that event, you'll see that he believed on God with all his house. He heard and he did. He heard and he did. And I've got to press home on you. It's necessary for you to hear and to do. You know, if you don't do what the gospel says, you make yourself worse in the eyes of God. Without taking it too far, let me tell you that the scripture says there are those who would be better off if they had never heard the gospel. Imagine that. They would have been better off if they never heard the gospel. How was that? Because they heard and they did not obey. And by doing that, they brought more condemnation upon their heads. They were condemned before they heard the gospel, but when they heard the gospel and rejected the gospel, their condemnation increased. Now, how many times have you heard the gospel? And how many times have you turned your back on the gospel? And each time you do that, your condemnation increases. You become more and more guilty before the Lord. So boys and girls, learn from the publicans. They not only were willing to listen to the Lord, associate themselves with the Lord, but they hearkened, they obeyed the Lord. In Matthew chapter 21 and the verse 31, the Lord Jesus is there speaking to religious leaders, among whom there would have been Pharisees, I have no doubt. And here's what he says. Verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. These religious leaders, you know, they came to the Lord Jesus, but they came to argue. They came to criticize. They didn't come to embrace the Savior. So, and remember the Lord Jesus said, I am the door. So they came up to the door of the kingdom, but they didn't go in. They came to look at the door and say bad things about the door, but didn't go in. Whereas the publicans and the harlots, sinful women, they came up to the door, to the Lord Jesus, and they went in to the kingdom. And when we get to heaven, each one of you that's saved, you will meet many of those publicans that you read about here in the gospel. For they heard the gospel, they obeyed the gospel, and they entered the kingdom of God. Now, I want to ask you the question. Have you gone through the door? Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you? If I were to say, put your hands up, all who have come to Christ, all of you who have pressed into the kingdom, if I were to say that this morning, you put your hand up, honestly. Oh, you might slip it up trying to deceive, but could you put it up honestly? Have you pressed into the kingdom? These publicans, I think they were commended by the Lord Jesus for acknowledging the rightness of God's word. In Luke chapter 7, the verse 29, Luke chapter 7, that's only a few pages back from where we are at the moment, Luke chapter 7, and the verse 29, we read this, and all the people that heard him, that's John the Baptist, these are the words of the Lord Jesus, he's talking about John the Baptist, and all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. What did the Savior mean? He said these publicans, among others, justify God being baptized with the baptism of John. Well, very simply, it means this. John came saying, here's God's message. You're sinners, condemned because of your wickedness and your disobedience and your defiance of God. I'm calling you to repentance. And those of you who are willing to repent, I want you to do something to show your willingness. Come and be baptized. I baptize you. And by being baptized, you are declaring that you're repenting of your wickedness in obedience to the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus said that those who did that, they justified God. That is, they were saying, God is just when he calls us sinners. For that's what we are. God is just when he condemns us as sinners. For that's what we are. We don't say God is wrong. We don't say God is unfair. We say God is just when he calls us sinners. And because God is right and we know we're sinners, John, we want to repent of our sins and we want you to baptize us as a mark of our repentance. That's what the Savior said about the publicans, the sinners who were baptized by John. They justified God. They said, God's right. Have you ever said that? Have you ever said God is right? Or have you in your heart said, no, God's not right. I'm not as sinful as God says I am. I'm not going to hell as God says I am. No, I'm not. God's wrong. Is that the spirit of your heart? I don't need to be saved. I know the Bible says I do, but I don't believe the Bible. The Bible's wrong. That's not justifying God. That's not saying God is right, God is just. That's defying God. There are many people out there in the world today, and they're defying the police force of their particular country. They're taking to the streets and defying the police force, saying, what you are doing and the laws that you're trying to uphold are unjust, and we defy them. We reject them. It's happening in many of the country. You have it in France. You may have heard something about it. Every weekend, it seems, there's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people on the streets of Paris defying the authorities, fighting with the police. There's petrol bombs and all sorts of things being thrown about because they're saying the laws that we don't like are not just. We reject and have it in this country. There are people in this country who reject everything that this country stands for. We don't accept it. If they're arrested and brought to court and charged with crimes, they will say, in effect, we don't recognize this court. We don't recognize the authority of this court. It's unjust. But there's far more throughout the world who say that about God and his law. And maybe here in this Christian school this morning, there's one who says, no, God is not just. I'm not the sinner God says I am. I defy him. Well, if you do that, you're not like the publicans. When they heard John preaching, and when they heard the Lord Jesus preaching, they bowed their heads, and they said, he's right, we're sinners. I love the picture of the thief on the cross. Do you remember him? Oh, what a wonderful man he was. Don't know his name. And I say he was a wonderful man, but he wasn't always a wonderful man. He had lived a sinful life, and his sin had brought him into conflict with the Roman authorities, and he was now about to be executed for his crimes. But a change came over him in the last minutes of his life. Here's what we read in Luke chapter 23. We're in the same book, so you go forward this time to chapter 23 and the verse 39. And there we read how one of the malefactors, that's an old term meaning a wrongdoer, a criminal, which were hanged, railed on him. And that's a term not often used, railed, meaning shouted out abusively, mockingly. Railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly. We are here hanging on the cross, and we deserve it. Justice has been done, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man, the Lord Jesus, hath done nothing amiss. Here's a man justifying the punishment that has come his way. And that's what you have to do if you're going to be saved. You have to own up to your sin. You have to own up to your sin. Are you ready to admit your sinfulness before God? Christians are quite regularly accused of thinking themselves better than everyone else. When a Christian says, I'm saved, the usual response by those who are not saved is, you think yourself better than us, don't you? And that could not be further from the truth. Yes, the Christian is saved, having come to the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved. But he came to the Lord Jesus Christ because he was sinful. The Christian knows himself to be a sinner, readily acknowledges and admits his sinfulness. The Christian is not someone who thinks themselves better than everyone else. In fact, a Christian, generally speaking, thinks himself worse than everybody else, because he has within him the spirit that was within Paul when Paul said that he was the chief of sinners. Paul the Apostle, I'm the chief of sinners. He had come to see his sinfulness, and he didn't think himself better than anyone else. He thought himself worse than anyone else. Are you ready to admit that you're a sinner before God? We cannot be saved. We cannot go to heaven unless we do. In 1 John chapter 1 and the verse 9, there's a very famous verse. If we confess our sins, he, that's God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You older one, let me explain why John there uses the word just. God is just when he says of you, you're a sinner. But the sinner who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and is saved, God is still just when he forgives that sinner. He was just when he says you are a sinner, but he's also just when he says, I no longer consider you to be a sinner, having forgiven all your sins. How can he be just on both occasions? Because at the cross, the debt of our sin was paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can justly go free because our sins were paid. Our sins were paid for. We broke the law of God. Yes, but the punishment didn't fall on us. It fell on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the law has been satisfied. Justice has been done, and we can go free, and God is still just. Tell me, have you confessed your sins to the Lord Jesus? Have you acknowledged to him that you're a lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinner, but you're trusting him for salvation? Have you? Oh, please do. Please do. My time is up this morning. The old clock is ticking away and time passes. But the clock of your opportunity to get right with God is also ticking. Don't miss the opportunity God gives you to get saved. Let's bow together, please, and pray. Lord, I do pray that there will be given unto each child here, especially any who are not yet saved, the spirit given to the public who pressed into the King. Lord, I pray that you will bless our school and grant that each and every pupil will know what it is to be saved. Bless our school today. Bless the teachers. Undertake for each and every one. Look kindly now upon us, we ask, in the Saviour's name. Amen. Amen.